Hi, I'm Nathan Scott, and thanks for tuning in. In the studio with me now are two lovely ladies from the Hamden Family Center to tell me a little bit about the work that the organization does in the Baltimore community. They are Lisa Ginger, the executive director, along with Ashley Wilkes, the director of operations for the center. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
So the first question that I think anyone listening might have who's not heard of the Hamden Family Center before is, what is it and what does it do?
The Hamden Family Center, it's located in Hamden right on the avenue, is a direct service provider. We are 24 years old. We provide adult literacy classes, after-school enrichment programs, benefit assistance, and programs for seniors.
So this is really a continuing education organization.
I would say it's a more of a resource center. Mm-hmm. We have resources for kids in the form of the after-school enrichment program and the summer program, the adult literacy classes. We also do preventative health programs for all ages, like an exercise class and a free flu shots.
Mm-hmm. So then there are a lot of different sort of facets of helping the community that you're providing at the Family Center. Can you tell me a little bit about the sort of people who walk through your doors who need help?
Sure. So what may surprise some people, especially in the neighborhood of Hamden, we see folks of every age, race, socioeconomic background. It really is a very diverse clientele.
Mm-hmm.
That ranges just from the scope of the programs and services that we offer.
So if someone needs the services of Hamden Family Center, how do they find out about you? I mean, you've been there for over two decades now, so I'm assuming word of mouth has something to do with that. But what are some of the ways that various people come to your doors?
Sure. So you're exactly right. Word of mouth is very powerful. Often an endorsement from a friend or a neighbor or colleague is very powerful to get people through the doors. All of our programs and services are listed on our website.
Mm-hmm.
That is www.hamdenfamilycenter.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just call us or walk in.
So if this is something that someone needs to take advantage of, are there any requirements that you have before going in, whether that's for the kids programs or the literacy courses, even for seniors? Is there any sort of prerequisite that they have to meet in order to be able to take advantage of those services?
Sure. So each service and program has their own kind of setup in terms of signing up, mm-hmm. registration, but that's always very easy to explain if you just call us or walk in.
So one thing I'm always curious about with charities like these is people typically don't work for these charities if it's just a job. If you're looking for higher paying jobs, they're certainly going to be available elsewhere. They typically take these jobs because it's something that they feel passionate about, and it's an issue that they really are very focused on addressing. I'll ask you first, Lisa, what brought you to the Family Center and what inspires you to go to work every day?
I really believe that we all face the same challenges, in life, whether it's dealing with an aging parent or a child who's struggling in school. The only thing that differentiates us is our resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that everybody needs the opportunity to get help. And you don't realize what you don't have until you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we look back on the last week at our most challenging incident mm-hmm. that we may have encountered, chances are we were able to get through it. The folks that we see have no resources. We are their resources. So that's really, in my heart of hearts mm-hmm. is what I truly believe, that, this is the job that requires someone to have passion
mm-hmm.
beyond just a job. And I think that the staff of the center is doing it because they really truly believe in the mission, and they truly mm-hmm. believe that they have the ability to help somebody in a formidable way.
So in your time at the Family Center, what are some of the ways in which you've seen people's lives be impacted by the services that you offer?
So I would say that over the years, I've seen, children that have come through our after school program. Some have gone on to mm-hmm. graduate from high school, which is a huge accomplishment. Some have gone on to college. I think that our greatest asset is that we expose folks to all kinds of opportunities and possibilities mm-hmm. and open their world a bit through whether it's the after school enrichment program, exposing kids to different cultures and activities.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most recent highlights, if you will, mm-hmm. or where we had the strongest impact is that we had a family whose children were removed and were in the care of a relative. And as an organization, we all came together to provide support to that family, whether it was in the program, whether it was the person at the front desk interacting with the family, whether it was myself or Ashley. And this family is doing beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And that, to me, is success.
And, you know, that's one of the best ways to define success is not necessarily via a statistic, but by seeing the impact that you're having on a specific person's life and the lives of those around them. I'm assuming over the time that you've been there, Ashley, as director of operations, that you've seen that in a very direct way.
Absolutely. So I was previously working in the neighborhood at a restaurant, and so I did come to learn part of the neighborhood through that avenue. I had a little bit of nonprofit experience, mm-hmm. and so Lisa brought me in originally to do part-time benefit assistance. So I really got to learn the client base from that direct service, and have seen many success stories over the years.
So what are some of the things in your position as director of operations that have surprised you about whether, you know, it's the organization or the people that you're serving?
Right. So it's really a very tight-knit workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's hands-on all the time. Everybody is willing to help each other out, right? So if there's – and you never know who's going to walk in the door, right? So there's a certain culture that we that we've just engendered as, you know, coworkers. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing to see. My client base obviously spans a lot of the neighborhood. And mm-hmm. so one of the things that I think is most important is really expanding the community of folks who are supporting our clients, right? So not only directly serving them myself, but going to my coworkers to see if they have any suggestions or connecting them to other programs and services that we offer.
In your experience, when you're working with someone who's in the situation where they need to be taking advantage of Hampden Family Center services, what are some of the most important things that someone needs to take into consideration when working with people who sometimes come from nothing or, on the other side of things, you know, had everything that they needed to keep them going and then just fell on hard times?
So the one thing that I'll say before turning this over to Lisa is that the very act of walking through our doors is a big step for people,
mm-hmm.
right? Just recognizing that I need to ask for help and this is a place that I can go. So just that act, that first step taken by the client is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to honor that.
I think certainly one of the key elements when hiring somebody, mm-hmm. and you know, I certainly have discussed this with every potential employee, is that whatever your morals and ethics may be,
mm-hmm.
you have to some degree, leave them at the door
mm-hmm.
and respect that you are a visitor, a guest in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And that when someone walks through that door, you treat them with the utmost respect, no
mm-hmm.
matter how they look or how they act. I mean, you know, you have to keep safety in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I agree with Ashley that it takes a lot of courage to walk through that front door and ask for help, but you're also being received by a group of people, regardless of their titles,
mm-hmm.
that want to help you and want to make you feel comfortable. So you really see a real cross-section of folks, and I think it is because people are respected and they mm-hmm. are shown that respect that they can feel open to discuss the issues and the challenges they're facing. Someone may come in for one little issue, and
mm-hmm.
the next thing you know, there's a synergy amongst the services that we offer. So they
mm-hmm.
may see Ashley regarding benefits. We may find that they have a child that goes to, you know, the school. Then we say, well, would you like to bring the child to the to the after-school enrichment program? So, you know, I think we're all on the same page.
So if someone walks in to the building and, you know, they're impressed by the welcome that they receive, the fact that they're being treated as a human being and not as a statistic when they walk in the door, what are some of the next steps that you take in order to figure out what exactly their needs are and if there are ways that some of the other services that you offer can benefit them in the long run?
So that often comes from just a simple conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of seeing where they are, what challenges they're facing, what hurdles, you know, are challenging them every day. Part of the program that I facilitate is mm-hmm. the SEEDCO Earned Benefits Program. So the idea there is screening a client for a number of different benefit programs. And that, I mean, just kind of gives them an idea of what's out there, right? Mm-hmm. And what they can take advantage of, programs they might not have known beforehand, resources they might not be aware of. And from there, just kind of having the conversation and continuing that conversation, calling to check up on them, mm-hmm. kind of continuing to walk with them, right? It's not a 1 30-minute appointment. It's a continuation of service. And from there, we can learn what our support groups help them. Mm-hmm. You know, would a GED or adult basic education course help them? Or can we refer them out if we don't provide that direct service?
By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott, and I'm speaking with, from the Hamden Family Center, Lisa Ginger, the executive director, as well as Ashley Wilkes, the director of operations for the center. One of the things that you mentioned a few moments ago was, you know, in the scope of all the different services that you offer, the fact that you have services aimed directly at seniors. Can you tell me a little bit about the programs that you have available for senior citizens and, you know, how they operate?
One of our programs, I would say our star program, is a monthly senior luncheon. And we do that primarily because seniors tend to isolate themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is a way of bringing people to come into the center. And everybody loves to gather around a table and break bread, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of camaraderie that happens. There's also an issue with food for seniors. A lot of folks are on fixed incomes, mm-hmm. so they don't have necessarily the means always to be well-nourished. So our senior luncheon, it falls at the third Friday of the month, so mm-hmm. it's close to the end of the month when people's resources tend to run a little low. We also have an intergenerational component in the children from the after-school enrichment program, and the seniors that attend the lunch mm-hmm. have become pen pals. So the seniors will come in and they'll have a note from, you know, Johnny. And mm-hmm. and then after the senior luncheon, the seniors will then send a note back to Johnny. So there's this very much this interaction that makes them feel treasured, you know, when they come to the center, and makes them feel like that they're important.
What do you think the value is in that pen pal program, you know, on the other side of things for the children who are a part of the family center?
I think it's really important to learn to respect that the mm-hmm. elders in our communities are wise and experienced and have a lot to share. And I don't see that in today's society as much as, you know, having grown up. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're doing is we're setting an example that these folks have a lot to contribute. They're just not old people sitting, you know, in their homes. Mm-hmm. And they have very valuable wisdom to impart. And they have skills that they can teach the kids.
And, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, speaking about people in an older generation, there are still opportunities for them to continue to learn as well. We spoke earlier about the adult literacy center. Ashley, can you tell me a little bit about what the day-to-day looks like over there and the sorts of people who may come in needing help?
Sure. So our adult basic education classes are offered through Strong City Baltimore. So they're every Tuesday and Thursday evening. Strong City comes to the center to offer those classes. The folks who attend are, again, you know, across all different age groups. Mm-hmm. One that sticks out to me in particular, it was an older lady. She completed the adult basic education courses and went on in her 50s to attend college.
Wow. And so what sorts of resources did she have to take advantage of at the Learning Center? Was it, at the Family Center? Was it only the classes, or are there other ways in which, you know, you can enrich your mental health?
So she started in the adult literacy class and, mm-hmm. and worked, and she also had a tutor that she met, and she still continues to meet with that tutor every Thursday to help her, you know, with her college courses. She's at CCB right now.
Mm-hmm.
She also comes to the senior lunches once a month,
mm-hmm.
and she takes advantage of our annual, we have an annual health fair with MedStar. Union Memorial provides an annual health fair, so she comes to that and gets her annual health her annual flu shot, and she's almost as if our liaison to the community to some extent. You know, she's always very active. She comes in and helps out when we need her to help out, and she's just a very strong person. But she did start, you know, in that GED adult literacy class.
And do you see that often, people who have taken advantage of the services offered coming back and helping others themselves?
We have several. We have mm-hmm. two students in the after-school enrichment program that graduated or aged out. One mm-hmm. is in high school right now at Poly, and he is currently teaching a skateboarding class once a week, which is phenomenal. It's
yeah.
huge. And then we have another woman, Sharon, who has, you know, access probably pretty much most of our services, and she checks people into the senior lunch once a month. Mm-hmm. She comes in, and we do, you know, free Thanksgiving baskets and Easter baskets we give away during those holidays, and she's there signing people up and signing people the baskets out when we do those. So people are definitely come back and help and give back to us.
Do you think that it makes other people coming in more comfortable, the fact that here's someone who has or is currently taking advantage of the resources that are offered here? Here's someone whose life seems to be coming more fully together, to see that and dream that that can be them as well?
I definitely think so.
Speaking about all the resources and services offered, all of these things do not come for free. In fact, this show it's pre-recorded, but it will be airing right after a fundraiser gala that you'll be having. You know, I can only ask about it in hypotheticals, unfortunately, but can you tell me, if not about this specific gala, about fundraisers you've had in the past, what sorts of things happened there, and more importantly, what does the money raised go to support?
We have two fundraisers a year,
mm-hmm.
And open to the public. Most of our funding comes from individuals and grants,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the nonprofit sector is an ever-changing landscape in terms of funding. So it is a challenge that we find ourselves in mm-hmm. from time to time. I would say that all the money raised from any of our fundraising events go directly to the programs and services.
You just inherently have to be resourceful, mm-hmm. right? And the needs in the neighborhood are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
The center has a really strong history with adapting to those needs mm-hmm. and really stepping up and meeting the community with whatever it is that is kind of the main challenge. We could always use more volunteers, right?
Right.
That's an endless supply is never enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have a really good support system from the merchants in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
From our neighbors. You know, we always have folks dropping off either games or books. Churches and just different resources in the neighborhood are always kind of there mm-hmm. to work together for the Hamden community.
So if someone is volunteering to work with the Family Center, what are some of the things that they may find themselves doing?
Sure. So the volunteers mainly center around both the after-school and summer enrichment programs,
mm-hmm.
Working with the children, and the senior luncheons.
Mm-hmm.
There are many opportunities. I would point folks to our website,
mm-hmm.
www.hamdenfamilycenter.org,
because mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're always looking for people.
So the Family Center, as you mentioned earlier, has been in existence for over two decades, which for any nonprofit is super impressive. What are some of the ways, since the Family Center has been established, that you've seen the neighborhood change, you know, especially as a result of the center being there in the first place?
Well, if I go back, say, 20 years, I can tell you that mm-hmm. there was not a whole lot on 36th Street.
Mm-hmm.
There was next to nothing. And the center really was developed because of the concern from the community, from the Hamden Village Merchants, from the Hamden Community Council, and the Hamden Midtown Kiwanis,
mm-hmm.
there was a need in the community to address the lack of education, the addiction, children without activities after school, teen pregnancy, and so forth and so on. And it has changed over the years. More merchants have come in. I think that the center served as an anchor in that 1100 block and was there for the vulnerable population. When you, over the years, as businesses come, as businesses have been developed and restaurants have come into the community, the optics are very different along the avenue. But there's still a very vulnerable population that is very present block out. And I think if you drive down with that knowledge base, you will see that there is very much a vulnerable population that we continue to serve and a great need that's there. I think there will always be the need for the family center. And we are very well positioned and have been, which I think is part of our success, to adapt to the changes in the community. As people have moved in and has it been, to use the word, I guess, gentrified, we've been able to address the folks that are moving in who use us as a resource. We have a very mixed group of kids in our after-school enrichment program and our support groups as well. As in terms of people attending the programs. So I think, you know, for us, because we're small, because we listen to the community and we're very much involved with the community, we're always well positioned to change to meet the needs of both the merchants, the vulnerable population of folks, and the people that are moving into the community.
And another important thing to remember as well is that this development of changing it into, you know, a place that's slightly better looking or more enjoyable to go and visit, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what it does mean is that that vulnerable population, they don't have the mobility a lot of the time to move in and out the same way that the people who have moved down there do. They don't have the money or the resources available. So in some ways, it actually makes them more difficult to see because now you have to find them amidst all this development. And that's someplace where Hamden Family Center is especially well-equipped to serve those people because due to your over 20-year history, you can, you know, you can meet those people where they are. They may be people who have been in that community for their entire life. They may be people who have been there for 15 years, 10 years, 5 years. But you know where those people are and how to reach them in ways that, you know, someone who's just looking at it from the outside is not going to have that intuition.
There are a lot of folks that we see and that are also still living in the community whose families migrated from West Virginia, Eastern Pennsylvania to work in the mills. And they're living in houses that have been passed down from generation to generation. So they're still in the community and they're living in a great grandparent's house or, you know, family's house that's been in the family forever.
And, you know, family is important. Family roots are what keep people strong. It's what keeps them together. And Hamden Family Center can help support those roots, help foster them, and help keep people in the area where they feel the most strongly connected to each other and to the community surrounding them. So if people would like to get in contact with Hamden Family Center to find out more about the work that you do, support it themselves, get involved, what are some of the best ways to get that information?
Sure. So I would point them to our website, which is www.hamdenfamilycenter.org.
All right. That website again, www.hamdenfamilycenter.org. Ashley, Lisa, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Nathan Scott, and I've been speaking with Ashley and Lisa, both of the Hamden Family Center, about the work that the organization does. Again, if you'd like more info, the website is hamdenfamilycenter.org. And we'll be right back in just a moment.